Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Anyhow, joining me right now, a guy who I don't know if I'd say he's been busy lately, because he probably has been trying to figure out what the heck is going on. The problem is nothing's going on. And that's John Morosi, who does a great job covering baseball on the hot stove when things are happening for Fox. John, how are you?
Evan, good morning. And yeah, it's been a different kind of busy, I think, this off season. It's been hurry up and wait. I think we're working extra hard to see what actually is occurring. And by the way, on your previous topic, I did see what was occurring was some very impressive Spanish by Porzingis there during the course of his introductory press conference. I was very impressed by that. Of course, he had his original club basketball experience in Seville, so very, very impressed by that.
Look at that. All right. Well, John, of course, works for MLB Network, Fox, and I appreciate you coming on. What's going to happen with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper? And I'll start with not where they're going to go. When is this nightmare going to end? Do you get a sense we're getting closer to the finish line?
Well, we should be, certainly, and I think we all know that, given the fact that the pitchers and catchers report next week, and really less than a week from now, we'll actually have workouts beginning for the teams that are going to be opening the season in Japan. So that's really an early start to the baseball year. I think it's important to remember that it was late February last year that J.D. Martinez signed with the Red Sox after a lengthy staring contest, if you will, between those two parties, and Scott Boras, of course, involved in that. And as we recall, things worked out pretty well for the Red Sox last year, and J.D. was not disadvantaged at all in his performance. He was an MVP candidate, and of course the Red Sox won the World Series. So it's we should be careful not to say words like never or this is something that can't possibly work out if a player joins this late. So I think that while it does feel urgent, I think the reality is a lot of players, as long as they're there by the time spring training games begin, then I think things are roughly on schedule for especially the position players. So I'm not overly concerned about that aspect of things. But to your point, I think that where this has become difficult for the game is that you've got marquee players, the kind of guys that can drive ticket sales and sponsorships and the cover of the media guide and the front of all the marketing, and they're still out there. And so you've got a lot of business of the game that can't get done. And also the difference between J.D. Martinez last year and then Bryce and Manny this year is that there is a profound level of a backlog of free agents that have not yet signed. And then that's the difference, that the after effects of the Dallas Keuchels of the world and Craig Kimbrels, Mike Moustakas for the second straight year is still available. There's a lot of business that still has to get done contingent on these players signing. And, of course, for them and for many others around the game, the wait continues.
Yeah, and it's tough to kind of gauge what the National League East is going to look like. I'll use them as an example because we've heard the Phillies connected to both Bryce and Manny. Obviously, Bryce still a National or technically could go back to Washington. So there's still so much to figure out. What's your sense right now? We'll start with Bryce Harper. Do you give the Nationals a fair shot despite the money they've spent during this offseason on bringing him back, or has that ship sailed?
I think the chances of Harper going back to D.C. are less than 50%, but it's probably still around 30% feels about right, 25% based on my conversations and where things stand. He knows it's a place that he can go back to, and I think ownership there knows the level at which they'd be comfortable. And yes, as you point out, they've already spent a lot of this off season. If anything, it's ironic because the team is better, I think, than they were when the season ended. This is a more competitive, better balanced club that when they bring in Patrick Corbin, I think that what they've done behind the plate is very good. In general, this is a very sound ball club. And I think that in that respect, maybe it's more appealing for Bryce Harper to go back there and play for the Washington Nationals on what I think is going to be a very, very competitive team, because they addressed by signing Corbin what I thought was their biggest weakness, which was starting rotation depth. And so I still think it's an option for him. It's probably not the most likely option. I still think Philadelphia, you consider how much money they've got to offer. It's such an odd situation, though, because I also believe the school of thought that knowing where the Phillies are financially, that if Machado or Harper really wanted to play in Philadelphia, they would have signed by now. And I think that is a statement that I believe is accurate, that if that was their first choice, they would be there right now, and clearly they're not.
And that leads me to this. So we've gotten the sense that Manny Machado would prefer to be a Yankee, but the Yankees haven't, you know, come into the ballpark of what he wants. Do you get an idea of what Bryce Harper wants, where his preferred destination is? It's clearly not Philadelphia.
Well, it's a great question. I think that for a while, the preferred destination was the Dodgers, but that possibility went away when they signed A.J. Pollock. And I think that is instructive of the way a lot of teams are approaching roster construction now. They like spreading their investment around different spots of the roster and not tying up too much of their future in one player, especially for a team like the Dodgers who value maneuverability of their roster so much. They like the interchangeable pieces and the Enrique Hernandezes and the Chris Taylors and the Cody Bellingers. They like that. And I think having one player that is fixed in one corner spot is challenging for them. And they've made that judgment that was their best way to build their club. I'm not sure I agree in this particular instance, but that was what they chose. And I think that was when we saw the Padres possibility pick up, because Bryce might have thought, again, this is my outward read on things, well, if I can't play in L.A., I'm from Las Vegas, I would still like to be able to play in the National League West. How about San Diego? Nice place. A place that certainly has some resources to spend, as evidenced by the fact they now had conversations with both Harper and Machado. So it's a very interesting dynamic there, but I think Bryce's first choice would have been the Dodgers. I think the Yankees also would have been a big choice for him. And interestingly enough, the report today with Aaron Judge and his comments about being able to move, interesting. Of course, the shades maybe of not quite exactly in the same situation, but a star player willing to move to accommodate another star, or at least obviously A-Rod had that same approach when he came and played third base. So I find it interesting. And actually, the general idea has, at least then, do I think Aaron Judge could play center field well enough to make it work? I think so. And in my judgment, you think about the relatively smaller, at least in relative to comparison to left field at Yankee Stadium, which is the other option, which Gardner plays so well and probably is in a reduced role. I think it actually could work. Would he be a Gold Glover? Probably not. But could he play a position well enough to accommodate that if, in fact, that would make the team better offensively, which I think we all know that it would? It's an interesting idea, and I think speaks to the creativity that is still out there and the possibilities, where the Yankees have, I think, been very, very steady and very steadfast in their approach this wintertime. But the possibilities, if you really wanted to make it work, are still there.
Look, I never bought that Bryce Harper didn't fit with the Yankees because of the amount of outfielders they have. Because in my book, John, they have two outfielders. They have Aaron Judge. They have Giancarlo Stanton. Those two guys are going to be there for a while. Aaron Hicks is a free agent at the end of the year. Brett Gardner is a fourth outfielder. You're right. He plays left field very well. He is not an everyday outfielder anymore. Clint Frazier's got to prove he can stay healthy. And Jacoby Ellsbury doesn't exist. So they have room for him. To me, it's always been, they don't want to give him that kind of contract. They already just gave one to Giancarlo. They're going to have to give one to Aaron Judge. They may have to give a big contract to Didi if they keep him. They're going to have to pay. They have a lot of guys they have to pay. So I've always thought it's not about fit with Bryce Harper. It's about, do they want to add another mega contract in Bryce Harper?
Right. I think you're exactly right. And Hicks, I'm a big fan of Hicks. I think he really has emerged in a big way. But, of course, you look at it, he's played only two seasons where he's had more than 100 games. So I think that you have to think about that concern and injury. And I'm with you. I think adding one more outfielder is not at all something that would handcuff the Yankees too much. It is the financial conversation, which, again, we're seeing more and more teams get very smart about resetting their luxury tax obligations. And, of course, the Yankees did that. So this is a team that I think they've got the ability to add Harper. They've got the ability to add Machado. I don't think that they're close to doing either of those things. And I think that Brian Cashman likes the flexibility there. And you think about overall, if we step back a little bit, the big picture here, You've got Stanton, and I think Joel Sherman made this point as well. Stanton, 1 year in, would they make the same investment all over again? I'm not so sure about that. And you think about A-Rod, it wasn't that long ago that was a big part of their team and having to manage that contract for many, many years to come. The Yankees, to me, seem to enjoy this nimbler way of building their club. It's not, obviously, they're not the Tampa Bay Rays, but they're taking a different approach to things, and Brian Cashman seems very comfortable with the way that he's built this club. You've got an MVP candidate and Judge at very affordable numbers for a long time. The flexibility is now the buzzword around the business, and I think it's welcomed by teams, and I think they're using that thought process as a reason to probably not sign players at this magnitude of what Harper and Machado would cost.
Talking to John Morosi, so what would Bryce or Manny have to come down to for the Yankees to say, hey, this is worth it? Because you're right in that it doesn't seem like they're going to go break the bank. They're not laying in the weeds to break the bank. They'd be laying in the weeds to get these guys on some kind of bargain. What does that bargain have to look like in your mind for the Yankees to jump?
I think the bargain for me, Evan, would be more on the years than the dollars. I think that shortening the amount of exposure that you've got for term is what would do it. If Bryce says, listen, I'll take, I want my $30 million a year or my $32 million a year, but I'll do it over five. And if a similar thing with Machado, I think if it's a shorter term, then I think the AAV is manageable for the Yankees because, especially in the case of Machado, for example, he would probably address a need on the infield for a long time, and then you do not have to keep Didi for the long term. Eventually, Ellsbury's money fades away, and you're able to accommodate a contract like Harper in the outfield. That's why I was really intrigued when I saw Buster Olney's report about Ellsbury being out there and being of discussion with the Giants. That's intriguing to me because that would be the type of move you would make if you were contemplating making a move like Harper or Machado. So at least it appears to me that I'm not going to say the wheels are turning or that the things are lining up to create this environment.
Right.
But if you were a Yankee fan who wanted to believe that these things are possible, it would probably start on some level with the conversation about moving a big contract out in a deal that it's hard to really see what the Yankees could get back, and even then they probably would only be getting a little bit of salary relief. That story would start with a conversation about Jacoby Ellsbury.
Well, I guess I would look at it this way, because I read what you're talking about. For those who didn't hear, Buster only tweeted out the idea that maybe the Yankees and Giants would swap Jacoby Ellsbury for Johnny Cueto. Now, Johnny Cueto had Tommy John surgery. He's not going to pitch this year, is my understanding. So it would more be you're exchanging contracts. Insurance could cover Cueto or a big portion of it this season. And then next year, yeah, you start to have to pay him, but now he may be able to pitch for your team, which could be a help. So you do get salary relief in the short term, but then you've got to pay the extra year Cueto has. Do I have that right on the parameters, potentially, of a deal like that?
Correct. And my understanding is that the insurance policies, of course, follow the player. They're attached to the player, and so you wouldn't necessarily have to recertify all of your insurance at the time of the acquisition. So it would be covered from a standpoint of your cash flow, but then there is, of course, the separate conversation about luxury tax and that now there are probably some clever ways, and this is where the Giants come in. And Farhan Zaidi, you look at his track record, and he was very involved with the Dodgers for so many years, right there with Andrew Friedman, and the Dodgers made a number of transactions of this type. You think about the Matt Kemp move and others that were aimed at effectively moving money around and moving contracts and freeing up a little bit to get under the luxury tax threshold for LA's standpoint. So Farhan is very familiar with deals of this concept that would allow a team to be clever about maneuvering around the luxury tax threshold, as the Yankees would seek to do. And the Giants can take on a little more cash obligation if they maybe get back Ellsbury plus a prospect, let's say.
Right.
And that's where the deal's creativity could really take root. And frankly, the Yankees farm system is good enough where they could probably move a young pitcher or even two to make the deal worth the while of the Giants in that particular transaction. So I think it's, to me, a very intriguing possibility and one that I think that we should watch closely if things actually start moving down that road.
Interesting. We're talking to John Morosi. I know as a Met fan, I don't expect Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. Clearly that's not happening. But Gio Gonzalez would be a great fit. Do we as Met fans have to wait until Keuchel signs? Is Gio going to be the signing that occurs after a guy like Dallas Keuchel picks his new home?
That's a great question, and here's why it's really fascinating. Because, of course, Gio Gonzalez, Scott Boras client, Dallas Keuchel, Scott Boras client, Bryce Harper, Scott Boras client, Marwin Gonzalez, Scott Boras client, Martin Maldonado behind the plate at catcher, same thing. So Scott knows where all these pieces are potentially falling, and he knows the willingness to pay of various teams and their needs, because he's basically talked about every aspect of the club with almost every team by virtue of who he's representing this winter. So he knows, I think, where Gio can wind up. I think the Mets, I've seen those reports, I believe that's accurate. Certainly the Mets rotation, if everyone is healthy, I think is already potentially in a good place. But adding Gio, I think, makes sense. The Padres, in my judgment, have the greater need for Gio Gonzalez. And they have been involved in a lot of conversations this winter already, trade-wise, likes of Corey Kluber. He's been a possibility for them. Stroman as well, Gray, before that trade happened. I think if Gio signs soon, I think it's more likely to be with the San Diego Padres than it would be with the Mets. But I think all of these possibilities are in play, and I do think that the number of free agents that Boras still has is really a key storyline here, and one of the reasons why so many players are still unsigned, because I think Scott is a little bit wary of having particular players signing now that block possible destinations, or at least complicate places where the likes of Harper or even Mike Moustakas, for example, could sign. There's so many pieces that Scott still has right now that I think that it really is a major theme of the marketplace right now at this late hour.
What are you hearing about the Mets potentially work out an extension with Jacob deGrom? Is that even a possibility before this season starts?
There is so much still to be done, and it's a great question. I think on the way that all of the off-season work is still getting pushed late, and certainly Jacob's status is really, I think, independent of where a lot of the other free agents may sign with the Mets. Certainly, it's not really a mutually exclusive thing. But to me, I think so many of the free agent conversations and just the bandwidth of the industry are still being spent on free agency and arbitration that I think it's hard maybe to have that longer-term conversation right now. That being said, of course, we know very well how well Brody Van Wagenen knows Jacob deGrom and how well Jacob deGrom's current representation knows Brody. So I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that if that conversation happens, it could be a quick one. I wonder, and this is something for Jacob to answer as time goes on, and it's hard to really probably get that honest answer in this exact moment, if having his former agent as the GM makes him more or less likely to sign long-term there. I think it's a great question that we almost don't know the answer to, because there are so many variables that having Brody in that chair bring into play, even though he's obviously made the statement that he's not going to get involved in Jacob's negotiations in the future. So there's a lot there. I think just because of the pace of the offseason, we've got to wait a little longer to get the answer. But I think it's going to be a fascinating story that I'm sure a lot of agents and a lot of executives around the game will be watching with a great deal of interest, simply because of who the backstories and the biographies are, the people that are very much involved in those conversations.
The whole thing is bizarre. I mean, you have an agent.
Really unprecedented.
John.
It really is, without precedent.
You imagine your agent says to you, you know, John, I'm gonna get you a monster extension. Boy, MLB Network, they got to start paying you more money. We got to get this done. And if they don't want you, they should just let you go. Then 5 minutes later, he becomes your boss. And you're
right.
Like, oh, great. Okay. Well, remember what you said? And then he's like,
right.
Yeah, we're going to wait. Like, what? What?
It's
bizarre.
It's a difficult situation for us to even contemplate, because the quickness with which Brody went from being the agent and obviously advocating for Jacob in that realm to then running the team that employs him, that is all, it almost makes your head spin. Now it's certainly happened before in different sports, and we should realize that conflicts of interest happen in the business world all the time, and somehow the world still spins, and so it's not as though it's in any way a stupefying situation for the Mets and Brody and Jacob, but it is certainly unique. And I would suspect that the people that are involved in these conversations are still wrapping their minds around exactly what that looks like. And also at the same time, Evan, you got a situation where free agency ain't what it used to be in terms of how appealing it is. Now, Jacob, because of his background and of course the unique fact that he was a position player in college, there's the belief that his arm is maybe a little fresher potentially than other pitchers. So perhaps that plays into it, but I'm not so sure that based on the current climate in the game, players who are a year away from free agency are rushing to the door to get into this really incredibly complicated land that now exists in free agency. So if there's a fair offer to be made, and certainly there's a comfort level there on a lot of different levels, it's a really interesting conversation that I think will be very much present, I'm sure, for a lot of the folks there getting ready to be in Port St. Lucie next week.
All right, last question, and I'm sure you've been asked this 577 times since the offseason began, but right now as we sit here today, February 5th, 2019, where does Bryce sign, and where does Manny sign?
Okay, I'm going to go with one of them going to Philly. I was told by sources in the last week that there's still optimism they'll get one of them. I think of the two, I think Harper has a slightly better chance to wind up there. So I will say Harper to the Phillies, Machado to the White Sox. But I'll be honest, I obviously spent a lot of my days making phone calls and texts on this, and it is my job to report on these things. But I will make clear that is a bit of an educated guess here, because none of us really know exactly where things line up. We have heard things and believe things, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. I will give you those two answers, but I am not especially confident or certain of either of them.
Well, hopefully they sign before April 15th. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll
Let's
be there
hope
soon.
So.
Yeah. Thank you, John. I appreciate the time, my friend.
My pleasure. Happy begin to spring training. It's a great time of year, even if we're still counting the free agents still out there and unsigned.
It is an exciting time. Thank you, John.
My pleasure.
John Morosi, MLB, Fox Sports.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.